Great. Right. Well, I've got a short little kind of thought for the day, really. And based on that sparrows passage that Alison shared earlier, is it all right to get that up, please, Sharon? Just the verses there. So I'm going to read that one because it's in a different version. What is the price of five sparrows, two copper coins? Yet God does not forget a single one of them. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Don't need glasses yet. I can still read it, so that's all good. You know what? Whenever I heard this when I was younger, my mind immediately went off on a tangent. I just start thinking about all the different ways you could count your hair and probably didn't listen to whatever point or talk that I was supposed to be listening to at church because I just sat there the whole time thinking of all the different methods I could do. And I finally thought, 20 years later or something, as I was preparing this, I thought, you know what? I'm going to Google it. How do you count your own hair? So I had a little Google and I thought maybe with technology and artificial intelligence and all this different stuff, maybe there was like some way of doing it now, but I couldn't find anything. So I went onto one of those websites where people ask questions and there's other contributors, which are just random people from all over the world. And there's a couple of people that came up with some solutions. This is five apparently easy steps to count your own hair, right? Step one, trim your hair to about half a centimeter in length. Draw lines on your scalp as like a graph paper. Use a phone or a camera with high resolution to take a picture of each individual square. Upload it onto a PC, and then the fifth one is to zoom the photograph and start counting. But you have to do it within about 48 hours, they said, otherwise you'll lose some hairs and you'll get it wrong. So not so sure about that one. The other one is someone suggested that you get a mirror and either A, access to a discreet dealer in illegal pharmaceuticals, or B, a physician who's a good friend and almost as weird as you are, because it's going to take a long time. But the best bet is to wait until you're old, because there's a lot less work involved then. I'm just going to let that comment stay there. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm just going to let that float in there. So it turns out that working out how many hairs in your head isn't that easy, but the Bible tells us that God knows. And I don't think it's telling us that God kind of knows random facts about us, you know, that he should be on one of those programs like The Chase, where you have people that know these really weird and interesting facts they've obviously kind of trained themselves to know. But it's not that he knows facts about us or knows statistics about us or anything else, but actually that he knows us. And he knows us deeply, now down to the finest detail. He knows our deepest, darkest thoughts. And I'm not going to have time to read it, but Psalm 139 is a great psalm just for understanding what God knows about us and how deeply he knows us. And it starts off just by saying, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." And the two truths that come up in this passage that I've kind of highlighted there is the first truth is that God loves us and he cares for us. And the second truth is that God knows us. But the thing is that those truths have to go hand in hand. Because if he just loves us and cares for us, but doesn't actually know us, then we're not really going to get what we need. But if he just knows us and doesn't love us and care for us, then we're probably in quite a lot of trouble, right? It's kind of, I know what you did last summer situation. God loves us and cares for us, and God knows us. Both go hand in hand. And the issue isn't for us as believers whether this is true or not. The Bible states again and again these things, that God loves us unconditionally and that he knows us. So both of those are truths that we can take. The issue is that we struggle to believe it for ourselves. And so what I want to do this morning is just suggest three ways that we can help ourselves to step out and believe those two truths about God. And the first one is this: learn to stand freely before God. If God knows everything about us and knows even the worst parts of us, and yet it says still loves us unconditionally, then what is there actually left to hide? There's nothing, right? It's natural for us to want to hide the kind of worst bits of our lives from people, even with our spouse, even with our family, even with the people that we call our closest friends. We still kind of hide the ugly bits, right? And this is something that's happened from the beginning of time. So when you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, whatever that is and whatever that means. And it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. So the problem from the beginning of the world is that once Adam and Eve were aware of that situation, they felt the need to hide from God and not come to him freely. The problem with sin in the world wasn't that God would no longer look at the people, but that the people would no longer allow themselves to be seen by God. They'd single-handedly driven a wedge between them and God. They were hiding themselves and therefore didn't have that free relationship. So the thing is that everybody does this, right? Everybody, whoever lived in the world, does this. And we need to counter that natural position that we're in terms of we naturally want to hide things from God. We naturally think he's not going to accept us. We naturally think that he doesn't love us. And actually, we need to counter that. And the way I believe we do that is that we learn to stand freely before God. We learn to stand with our faults and our imperfections and kind of say, actually, God, this is me. I know that you already know me, but I need to say it. This is me. Here's me with all my shame, with all of my faults, with all my imperfections. It's actually freeing to stand there and say, I stand there like that and acknowledge that you say that you still love me. Even though I don't quite know how that happens, I'm going to acknowledge it. So that's the first point, is learn to stand before God freely and say that I know that you love me because I am your child. The second one is this: remind yourself of God's truth. Last time I spoke about speaking life into situations and the power of words. And there's power actually in us declaring God's truths over our lives again and again and again. And I was reading about, these kind of articles and organizations that talk about positive mindset and how to have a positive mindset. And nearly all of them give the advice that to have a positive mindset, you need to repeat positive things about yourself to yourself regularly, on a regular basis. So you might want to repeat, I'm good enough, or I can do this, or I'm not giving up. And, you know, they say it's good in a certain way to get that positive mindset. But this isn't as wishy-washy as that, because not all those things are necessarily true, right? If you could say, I'm not going to fail, or I can do this, then what happens when you do fail or when you actually can't do it? But we're basing it on truths of God that can't be debated because we know that they are true. And it's almost like going to a buffet where you think normally you go somewhere and you get a plate of food and you have to eat everything on the plate, but a buffet, you can have all the naughty stuff. You know, you can have just meat if you want, or if you go to a sweet buffet, you can just have the chocolate and the cake. We can choose the best bits, and so we can go to that stuff that's saying about positive thinking and repeating stuff and take that, but also take it with the truths of God and say, I'm going to repeat those truths to myself again and again. And so you might want to find a practical way of doing that. Maybe your truth is that you want to say, you love me because I'm your child. And you're going to decide to wake up in the morning, as cheesy as it sounds, and look in the mirror and say, God, you love me because I am your child. And repeat that on a daily basis. And what you'll find is that you're providing something consistent to the inconsistencies of life. So as we go through our ups and downs, there might be a day that you say that in front of the mirror and you're feeling great and you go, yeah, God does love me. I am a child of God. The next day, you might feel worthless and you can hardly even bring yourself to say the words, but you force yourself to say them anyway. And then there's another up, and there's another down, there's another up, and there's another down. And by the time you get to the third down, you look back and you say, actually, I felt like that then, but I said God still loves me. I felt like it again, and I said God still loves me. I feel it again now, but I know each time I felt that, he's brought me back, and I've realized again how much he loves me. So you're providing that consistency, that truth, to the kind of craziness of life. So I encourage you to find an area where you're struggling to trust God and to actually think, what do I need to know here? What's the truth that I need to know? And find ways of repeating that for yourself, maybe just in your prayer life, just repeating it to God and again and again and speaking to him. The third and final point is to challenge your subconscious mind. So, it says here that God knows us better than we know ourselves. When you look at Psalm 139, that is clear. And actually, there's things we don't even know about ourselves because of our subconscious, right? It's so powerful that we have things that we're unaware of that's going on behind the scenes in our minds and our emotions and even in our thinking patterns. And they actually dictate so much of our life. So if you have some subconscious thoughts that you're not good enough or subconscious thoughts that are negative, that tends to dictate how you live your life. And what I'm suggesting here is that we need to challenge those thoughts. But the thing is, how can you challenge something that you're not quite aware of, that's almost behind the scenes you're not even bringing to the forefront of your mind. Well, actually, subconscious thoughts are things that are unspoken. They're emotions, they're thinking patterns that we can't even necessarily talk about or can't quite explain. So what we need to do is challenge those unspoken thoughts with things that are unspoken. And to explain what I mean here, I want to look at Romans 8, verse 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So what they're saying here is that sometimes we don't have words, but the Spirit that lives inside of us intercedes for us and brings us into connection with God. So we need to find ways with that subconscious stuff of using the Holy Spirit and what we have inside of us in order to actually almost speak to the subconscious stuff. And we have things in our lives that are constantly feeding us. You know, I talked about the news, I talked about other stuff and people sometimes that are constantly feeding us and feeding that subconscious. But actually, we can feed ourselves with the positive things of God as well to challenge that and to counter it. Sometimes it's just as simple as listening to worship music. You know, I went through a stage where I've been in such a Christian bubble working in a church that I kind of got a bit fed up of always being around Christians. And I just wanted to listen to some normal music and not listen to worship music. And at first it was nice to kind of get out of that bubble. It was probably a bit of a healthy thing. But after a while I got out of the habit of listening to worship music. And what I found when I came back to going, actually, I want to do that again, is that I'd be in situations where, you know, you're just at home, you're cleaning up or you're cooking or you're just chilling out and you have it in the background and it almost just feeds you, because all that positive stuff, those truths that they're singing about, just kind of is there playing into your subconscious. The other thing is to learn to pray without words. And I think this is a big one. We're so quick to want to speak and want to explain everything to God, but there's things that we're not even aware of. Sometimes when you feel overwhelmed, you just go, you know what, I just need to put my hands out in front of God and just say, you know my situation. I don't even need to say it, but you just put your hands out in front of God. Sometimes I found myself raising my arms in praise. Sometimes I found myself on my knees. Sometimes I've just laid out on the floor. I've done it with tears. I've done it with laughter. But actually, when I do those things, sometimes I've not thought too much about what I need to say to God, that I need to say the right thing. I've almost just said, here I am with everything that I have, and the Spirit intercedes in that prayer time. So I encourage you to do that as well, to learn to pray without words. So those are those three things. If we know that God loves us and cares for us, we know that he truly knows us, then learn to stand freely before God, remind yourselves constantly of God's truths, and challenge the subconscious mind by feeding yourself in the positive ways as well. So let's just finish by reading that passage again. I'm going to read it in the version that I have here. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Lord, we just want to commit ourselves to you. We don't always realize how much you know us, how much you love us, and you care for us. We also acknowledge that through not realizing that, sometimes we distance ourselves from you and we hide ourselves from you. And I just pray, God, that you help us to learn how to come to you, how to stand freely. You help us to learn how to remind ourselves of your truths when we start doubting, when we start to forget you, and to learn how to feed ourselves in positive ways to battle those thinking patterns that we have and to battle those emotions. In Jesus' name, amen.